This is The Real Estate Show for Chisholm & Gayman, Weno Bayside.
And once again, they're flat out at the Chisholm & Gayman offices this morning. Can't get a hold of Sammy, but I've got Torsten on the line. Good morning, Torsten.
Good morning, Eddie. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm excellent, thank you.
Give us a snapshot of what's happening in the market.
In general, the clearance rate across Melbourne is terrific. We're exceeding the 80% mark, which is exceptional given the large numbers of property that have hit the market. So number of buyers are well and truly matching the stock levels that are coming onto the market.
Mm-hmm.
The medium house price for Port Melbourne has risen to $1,450,000, which is terrific. Apartments as well, which is, given that there are a lot of apartments in the Port Melbourne region with recent developments, the exciting news for owners there is that there's been 11.6% growth in the last quarter of the medium apartment price to $747,500. So,
hasn't Port Melbourne become such a fashionable place to live now?
Well, it really has. I think basically,
maybe in the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah, look, but I think probably in particular the last 2 to 3 years, Bay Street's gone through a wonderful transition, and there is such a choice of cafes, restaurants, amenities. All the banks are there. You've got great choice of supermarkets. There are these emerging smaller little gyms coming up.
Yep.
Your walking distance to the foreshore. Again, you're only a 5-minute Uber or taxi to the city, and you've got the light rail that take you straight in there as well.
And from memory, 20 to 30 years ago, Port Melbourne was a very commercial area.
Look, it was considered a very working class.
Yes.
So a lot of miners' cottages where a lot of the workers in factories in the area would live. So that's gone through a total regeneration of renovations, extensions. So it's an area that certainly has seen a lot of the old guard move out as they've got older. There's there was a very old population in Port Melbourne. There's now a very young population. So it has become groovy, and it's become very convenient for professionals because they're literally 5 minutes from where they work in the city.
I've got an idea for a topic this week, Torsten, but we'll get to that shortly. How about the other three offices?
Yeah, so Elwood, again, has had an outstanding start to the year. Our office has had a 100% strike rate for the year to date, which is incredible. So we're 20 to 21% ahead of the rest of the marketplace. Medium house price in the area is $1,772,000, and the medium apartment price in Elwood is $591,000. So terrific numbers there. Blackrock a bit further down the road. You've had some standout growth in the Beau Morrison Blackrock area.
Yep.
We've had an outstanding 16.1% increase in the medium unit price in Blackrock to $940,000. And Beau Morris actually is now ticked over to $1,150,000.
Goodness.
So some really, really strong results. Mount Martha has seen a 14.5% growth in the last quarter. So medium house price increasing to $945,000. And in particular, what's been interesting, the average days on market in Mount Martha, traditionally those regional Bayside areas have longer days on market. But in the last quarter, it was 32 days, which is matching what we have in metropolitan Melbourne. So that's been an outstanding performer in the last quarter.
Indeed. Now, my question earlier, Torsten, was in regards to commercial real estate, more so about that cafe sort of lifestyle. We were talking about Port Melbourne and how that used to be really commercial and now how it's very up and coming, I should say, young, hip, groovy, lots of cafes. And people who are heading for retirement age, are they starting to invest more in that sort of cafe lifestyle, opening cafes, maybe opening a pizza shop or something along those lines?
Yeah, look, I think that there is definitely a growing number of people wanting to use some of their superannuation money to establishing a cafe or restaurant. It's a terrifically exciting industry to be getting into. As you can see, there's a regeneration of lots of strip shopping areas, and you see a proliferation of coffee houses, restaurants, and other small businesses that are aligned to that village atmosphere that we've got. So
yep.
I think certainly I can walk you through that process after the break, Eddie.
This is The Real Estate Show, back shortly.
This is The Real Estate Show for Chisholm & Gayman, We Know Bayside.
This is The Real Estate Show. Thanks to Chisholm and Gaiman, We Know Bayside. 9531 1245, the one central number to call. 9531 1245 for all your real estate needs, whether they be residential or commercial, property management or sales. Chisholm and Gaiman, We Know Bayside. Torsten, four offices. Where are they?
They are in Port Melbourne, Elwood, Blackrock and Mount Martha.
We're discussing commercial real estate today, but more so people who are reaching retirement age and buying the cafe that they always dreamed about buying.
Eddie, I think there's some really important decisions that you need to make before you venture into that lifestyle choice. One, which I always say to clients that are doing it for the first time, the hours involved are a lot longer than you expect because there's a lot of work that goes behind the scenes. So it's not just when the premises is open. It's the ordering, it's preparation before the opening hours, and then there's also a lot of effort that goes in HR as well in getting the staff that are appropriate to the venture that you're wanting to undertake. But the first question you've got to ask yourself is, do I want to buy something that is existing or do I want to start from scratch? Now, that's the really important one because often I'm left scratching my head when I'll see a client that'll ring me and say, look, Torsten, really excited, want to come and see you. I've actually bought this business, but I'm going to change its name and I'm going to change the menu. And
so they bought it before discussing it with you?
Well, that's the first mistake.
Yes.
The second issue is why you would pay a few hundred thousand dollars to buy something and then totally change the business that you've bought. Tweaking is a different, but to do a name change and then to change the whole menu means that you're going to disenfranchise the existing client base.
Absolutely.
So the only time I would recommend that is if you're buying something really cheaply where it unfortunately the current owners have not been able to make it work and you're getting it for a significantly discounted rate. So in that sense, well, then it makes
sense. So the suggestion is if you're buying into a business, just tweak it. If you're buying an empty shell, then start it from scratch.
Very much so. So, and as I say, there are very few cases that are where that hybrid solution is involved. But where it gets complicated for new parties that are coming into the industry for the first time is when they're starting from an empty shell, because you're then needing to make sure, importantly, that you can operate from the venue.
So we're talking about a permit?
Exactly, Eddie. So you want to make sure that you can actually function a cafe or a restaurant from that actual premises. The other question is, has there ever been an existing liquor license? Because that adds a lot of value and a lot of potential revenue for you down the track. So if there's an existing one, it means that you just need to have that transferred into your name. But if there hasn't been one, it's really important that you do your due diligence initially, because if you're depending on that revenue, it's not a given that you'll be given that by the liquor licensing authorities.
Sure.
So really, really important that you've got your concept very firm in mind and that you've got the answers before you commit to an opening date.
And make sure it's not a dry area.
Well, there's that, but also there may already be, which you'll find out from the authority, is they may actually be up to their limit on the number of licenses they're prepared to issue to that given village. So from that point of view, you don't want to be then waiting months of not having that revenue, which you were depending on, because you haven't done that research.
Sure.
The other really important major investment is the cooking equipment, where the ovens will go, and importantly, where the extractor fans. So is there an existing vent that will allow you to position the extractor fans to exit the smells and steam and the odours coming from the kitchen?
But from my memory of commercial real estate, that onus falls on the person who's leasing the premises to make those alterations.
What you'll find is there's a mixture of properties that may, where, for example, we're leasing one at Elwood House at the moment, where because that developer was, he's one of the best developers in Melbourne, came to see us about advice as the floor plan to those apartments, which while they were such a success.
Yep.
But the other thing is, when he asked us who the most likely tenants would be for the commercial property, we said cafe, restaurant. So what we had him do...
Hold that thought, Torsten. We'll be back shortly on The Real Estate Show.
This is The Real Estate Show for Chisholm and Gaiman, We Know Bayside.
This is The Real Estate Show. We continue. Torsten.
So we asked the developer to put in a grease trap, which again is another important infrastructure piece and a very big cost saving for potential tenants. And we also had them put in the extraction fittings for an extraction fan, so that venting was already